On today's episode of Locked On 76ers, following a stunning game win victory on the road for Philadelphia, not so much in game two. They get rocked by the Boston Celtics in game two. Even series heading back to Philadelphia on Friday. We break down game two right here, Locked On 76ers.
You are Locked On 76ers, your daily Philadelphia 76ers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Welcome. You are Locked On 76ers. I'm Devon Givens from 97.5 The Fanatic Radio in Philadelphia, alongside my co-host and partner, as always, from TheEnquirer.com, Sixers beat writer Keith Pompey, back in the area. What's up, Keith?
What's good, D? How you doing, man?
Doing all right, man. Doing better than the Sixers after game two, but I'm sure they'll look at it and feel like they did something, at least on the road, by getting the split. We'll break it all down in just a second. We thank you for making Locked On 76ers your first listen every day. And remember, Locked On 76ers is free and available on all platforms, including right here on YouTube at Locked On 76ers. A little bit later, we will catch up on the MVP winner, Joel Embiid, and everything that took place on Tuesday with him being announced 22-23 most valuable player of the season in the NBA. But first, Keith, we have to start off with the final of the Philadelphia 76ers and the Boston Celtics. Lopsided loss, man, in this one for the Sixers. What went wrong in this one versus what we saw in game number one, where they were able to hang in, win in the end without Joel Embiid? He comes back, they lose this one, and it went pretty bad.
You know, it's to me, from the beginning, it looked like they just didn't play with that sense of urgency, intensity that they did in the first game. You know, it seemed like they were, and I get it, Joel's back. He's trying to get back into shape, you know, by playing, but it just seemed like they just weren't as fast. And then it like, you know, we pointed out before we started taping this thing, the third quarter, they just got out, they got blitzed. It seems like they had no answers in the third. But, you know, also a lot of things. First game, you know, DeAnthony Melton was making shots. He shot 5 for 5 from three in the first half. He struggled this game. You know, James Harden had 45 points. This game he had 12 points, and he was 0 for 6 on threes, where he was 7 for 14 the last game. So it just seemed like, you know, they just couldn't match what they did the previous game. And then also they got blitzed in the third quarter, where in the third quarter, the last game is where they started, you know, stepping up their defense. So, you know, it just seems like it was two completely different games.
Third quarter, you're absolutely right, losing that one by 19. And overall, Keith, the Boston Celtics making 23 pointers to the Sixers 6 for the entire game, 17-10 in favor of Philadelphia in game number one, 20-6 in this one. That was, of course, again, part of the big discrepancy that they did have in this particular game, which is why they lost so big the way that they did. That three-point shooting was on point for Boston. The Sixers didn't close out enough. They were too open along the three-point line. And as a result, that's how the Sixers, in my opinion, between the third quarter and those three-point makes, were a big difference. And one of the things that we know that we saw in game number one, there was a parade to the painted area for Boston, getting 60 points in the paint. And in this one, not so much, because Joel Embiid was there with 5 blocks in there. He was a terror at protecting the rim, which is something the Sixers needed in the first game. They were able to sneak away and steal this one on Monday. But the Boston Celtics adjusted. While they did still attack and see how good Joel Embiid was as far as his leg and trying to see if they can test him, maybe get him in some foul trouble also. But after that, man, they just decided we're going to shoot some threes. They didn't shoot a lot in game number one. I think they shot 10 for 28 off the top of my head, where the Sixers made 17 and they hoisted up 30 plus. Boston got up 51 threes in this game. And once they got going, they just couldn't stop. And that was a big part of the game plan, I think, for the Boston Celtics, and it worked. And they also had a lot of open shots that they missed too. So game plan wise, looking at the film, that's something the Sixers are going to have to address and correct, because while they made 20, there were a handful. Like when we talk about Al Horford standing back there, and we know he's more than capable of making three-pointers. Al Horford was 1 for 8 from the three-point line. He was open on a good number of those threes, Keith. And if those fall, things could look a lot differently there for the Sixers in terms of how they lost that game, how big those three-pointers were for the Boston Celtics. That can't happen again for game number 3.
Yeah, and not only Al Horford. I mean, Al Horford had a horrible game. And, I mean, like you said, 2 for 10. And so did, to be honest with you, Jason Tatum struggled too. But and when you look at it, you're saying to yourself, like, how does Al Horford shoot 2 for 10, 1 for 8 on threes, and Jason Tatum, who was a MVP candidate, have 7 points on 1 for 7 shooting, and the Sixers still lose by 34 points? You know, that's the crazy thing about this right now. You know what I mean? So it just looks at, if you're Boston, you're saying to yourself, like, wow, we were really fortunate, you know, to be able to win this game. I mean, you would say that if it was like they won by a point, but the way they blitzed them and the way they blew them out, it was crazy. But you know what? It also seems like Malcolm Brogdon, he was the guy. Like, they couldn't stop him. He kept giving them the business. He shot 6 for 10 on three. He had 23 points. So it was a rough night for the Sixers. It's you know, he just, I don't know, they just didn't have any answer. It reminded me of one of those games early in the season at Boston. Now, Boston didn't blitz them like this as far as point totals, but they had the same ingredients where Malcolm Brogdon was doing whatever he wanted, and Sixers was giving up threes, just giving up threes.
Brogdon has had success against the Sixers all year. That's to be expected in these games. They have to figure that piece out. But the other part was where the role players did step up in the absence of Jason Tatum with the 7 points in 19 minutes, 15 apiece from Derek White and Marcus Smart. Smart had a really good close to the first quarter, had some nice shots there in the second quarter to start some things off. And then Grant Williams coming off the bench and making 4 3-pointers on 4 for 8 shooting, while the fourth, I think the last one was when the reserves were all really in there in the fourth quarter and the game was basically out of hand and the Sixers had already taken the starters out and just let the backups finish out the game. But he had some big 3-pointers in the stretch where the Boston Celtics had some sustained runs, the Sixers not so much. And as a result, as we know, the final score 121-87. So they're going to have to figure that part out as far as the role players go. And with that, we can talk about that maybe a little bit later, because with the role players, we know typically when you're playing at home, you get a little bit of extra juice. You get a little extra boost from the crowd being at home in front of in the confines of your own arena. And with the Sixers coming back for a weekend set against the Boston Celtics, those guys are going to be key for their game once they step on the floor on Friday for that 7:30 start time. All right, man, we'll take a quick break. We come back. We also have to get into the MVP, Joel Embiid. On Tuesday, acknowledged as the 2022-23 most valuable player for this campaign. Well-deserved. And there was a lot happening in Boston with that, not only with the interviews and the videos and all that stuff. Keith, you were on the ground with the Rolex revealing and all kinds of stuff. Seemed like they were in a very, very good mood. How much of that stuff maybe played against them in this game with the celebration? We'll get into it all next right here on the next segment. Locked On 76ers.
I'm going to talk to y'all about eBay Motors. For a championship team, it's all about making sure every player is a perfect fit. It's the same when it comes to your vehicle. Every part needs to fit just right. So, the next time you need parts or accessories, head to eBay Motors. With eBay's guaranteed fit, you can be sure every part you need fits right the first time around. Just add your ride to My Garage and look for the green check to know the part will fit, or your money back. Because just like in sports, confidence is the name of the game when you shop on eBay Motors. And with over 122 million parts to choose from, you'll be back in the game in no time. after all, it's easy to bring home a win when you have the right parts are guaranteed. Get the right parts, the right fit, and the right prices on ebaymotors.com. Let's ride. eBay guaranteed fit only available in U.S. customers. Eligible items only. Exclusive apply.
Thanks for making Locked On 76ers your first listen every day. Every day is tomorrow on the show. We will get into a game preview. Sixers, Celtics, game three, even up, coming back and heading to Philadelphia at the center for a weekend set for Friday and Sunday. Can the Sixers protect their home floor and make sure that this series is theirs? Well, in order to do so, they're going to need some help from their MVP, who didn't look all that bad as he got his legs back underneath him defensively, of course, but he mentioned post-game that he was not very aggressive. So with that being said, Keith, first, I know you voted for Joel Embiid. You were there for the announcement, of course, on Tuesday, and having the Wednesday press conference and all of that, also being there as well. With the unveiling of the Rolex. We'll get to that in a second. But number one, Keith, how surprised were you that it wasn't even close with him winning the award? And then number two, what were your thoughts on, after being around Joel Embiid for all these years, from the very beginning of him getting on the floor and seeing his growth, his maturity? See, you know, he still has some things that we kind of get on him about. But for the most part, man, it was a celebration of his season, his path to where he is right now. Your thoughts again on how it wasn't close in terms of the voting at the very end, and also everything that took place there with him and his speech and all with his teammates.
You know what I mean? I felt like, the closeness was a little bit of a surprise to me. I mean, I had a feeling that the lack of being close, the reason that it wasn't close was a surprise. You know, I had a feeling he was going to win. Everybody did. You saw the first place votes coming in. But at the same time, you didn't know he was going to get like 73 of them, right, out of 100. And then there were certain people who didn't even vote Nikola Jokic in the top five. Like, there was a couple of them who didn't, which was kind of
absurd.
But I don't want to criticize somebody for their vote. You know what I mean? Like, maybe some people just think the dude overhyped. I don't know. But like, I'm just saying.
That's insane. I'll say it. You don't have to. I don't have a vote. That's insane.
But, I'm not shocked that he won it. And in regards to the whole thing, yesterday, I'm going to be honest with you, I was a little concerned. Like, at first I'm thinking, like, he ain't playing. Because typically, I'm going to tell you this, in the morning of game days, Joel does not like talking that shoot around. Joel is locked in. He does whatever he has to do. He's like focused, like really focused. Well, at this one, they gave him a full-blown press conference right after shoot around. And then after he talked to us, that's when James Harden gifted him the Rolex watch and this and that. And then he goes over and then he talks to Kate Scott for, NBC Sports. And he does like an interview with her. After that, he goes over to ESPN and does an interview with them. So I'm saying to myself, like, he can't play, because like, this is a lot. Like, this is like an emotional. You like your psych. You're feeling yourself. Everybody's saying how great it is. You're being real nice, and then you got to come around and turn that around within a couple hours. But then, you check in with sources, and sources told me, like, yo, he's playing. I'm like, huh? Oh, nah, he's playing. So, I wrote that up, whatever. But then when he played poorly, initially, I wasn't surprised. I mean, A, his knee is messed up. He's trying to get that back together. He has to get back in shape. And then I felt like emotionally, mentally, he wasn't as locked in as he normally is for that game. As he normally was. So, I wasn't surprised that he struggled, but it was a great day for him But at the same time, you know, it would have been better for him if it was announced 2 days prior to the game, so he would have had a day to chill. You know what I'm saying? Because I just felt like the timing was bad for him.
You said you said he felt like he played poorly. I didn't think he played poorly. I just thought he was getting his legs back underneath him. Defensively looked good. He wasn't aggressive enough on offense.
I mean, here's the thing, D. Here's the thing. This is the thing. From what I saw, they had to slow the ball up to get him up the court. Now, defensively, he looked good. Offensively, he didn't look good. He didn't look good. He kept falling around. He kept doing all this other stuff. He wasn't his dominant self. Not to say that he can't get there, but he wasn't his dominant. He looked like the defensive player of the year, but offensively, he did not look like the MVP, in my opinion. He just didn't.
No, he didn't. So, I wouldn't say, I wouldn't term it as poorly. I just thought it was.
Well, he played poorly in my thing in the first half. He played poorly. In the first quarter, he played poorly. The second quarter, he got okay. It was like a lot of things. First of all, he was out of shape. The workout. I saw the pregame.
Agree on that, yeah.
The pregame, brother man, at least six times, maybe seven, during a 15-minute or 20-minute workout, he was on his knees gasping for air.
Yeah.
So to me, I got to include all that in there. And again, it's not his fault. He wasn't working out. He wasn't doing anything. But I don't think he played, in my opinion. So other people, now he's getting it back, but in my opinion, he didn't play well. He didn't play well offensively. Defensively, he did. He didn't play well offensively to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I don't disagree with you that he didn't play well offensively. I just disagree with the word poorly in terms of that. And yeah, you're right. He got to get his win back. Got to get his basketball win back since he's been out for so much time. And that's something that you hope getting it out of the way in this one. Again, though, also your thoughts, man, because you have been around him. You said it was an emotional day and all that stuff. We've talked about it, about him winning, about him getting to this spot. He finally did it. And even when you asked your question, you said to him, you know, you were around him. You've seen this from the beginning. Seeing him turn from the player that they were hoping he would be, missing the 2 years, getting to this point, winning the MVP, Keith, and legitimately doing so. What were your thoughts again, just on the path to get him here from what you've been able to see on a day-to-day basis?
You know what? I felt really happy for the guy. It was kind of like, you know, I felt happy for him because when you put everything in perspective, you know, here's a guy who was supposed to be number one in the draft. And then he slides to number three because of, you know, a stress fracture in his foot. He misses 2 years, his brother dies, and he's ready to give it up. And all these injuries. So when you sit back and you think of that, like you root for this guy. But the one thing is the maturation. You know what I mean? There was a time when, you know, Joel, you know, he was cool, but he wasn't as mature as he was. He wasn't as much as a leader. Now, a lot of that has to do with what you perceive the leader to be. And he's more of like a loner, an introvert. He doesn't like going out to eat in restaurants. He likes being at home, you know, chilling. He always that way. But it just seems like he grew into become a leader. He always was for the last couple of years the face of the franchise, but he is a leader now. So with all that being said, you can't help but to be happy for him. You know what I mean? Because you saw it from day one. It was a special moment, I mean, for him. And like I haven't seen him that joyful in a while. And not to say he's not a joyful.
No, I know exactly what you mean.
But he was elated. He's thanking the media, thanking us, you know, all this and that. The guys
seemed sincere. From afar, it seemed like it was sincere.
Yeah, I mean, I like Joel. And the thing is, you know, Joel and I, like, I'm not going to say we didn't get along, but it was like I had a job to do and I had to write things and Joel had to, you know, play. So it was like, you know, it was a strange relationship. But at the same time, it got to a point where, cool, you know what I mean? Now, like, but it wouldn't, but it wasn't that way in the beginning. You know what I mean? Like, maybe it was in the beginning, but then when stuff started happening and you're the guy reporting it and you're the one asking the questions, it's kind of sort of like, you know, I ain't gonna say he didn't like me, but it was kind of like, okay, here comes another question. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But I like, I mean, the guy has grown up a lot. He's grown up a lot. And, you know, you just happy for him, happy for him.
How sick was that watch?
I mean, it was a Rolex. So, you know, it was really nice. I mean, it was nice. It was, but the funny part was, it was a big watch, but his hands are so huge. It looked like something that my nephew would have, and he's in like the third. Oh no, he's in the fifth grade. Little dude, you know what I mean? Like, little man, you know what I'm saying? That's what I call him. And like, he couldn't even get it on. Like, he was holding that thing. Dude, I'm serious. He was holding that watch like this. Like, it was something like this. It was crazy, but it was sick. It was sick. It was sick.
Yeah, it looked cool. Rose gold, nice watch, nice gift from James Harden. Welcome to the MVP club for Joel Embiid. Final segment, though, we got to get a little bit back to basketball. You know, nice stuff there for Embiid. Well-deserved. Once again, finally getting that elusive recognition as the most valuable player, the best player in the association. But we got to talk also a little bit more about the game, some things that stood out. The role players did not help out in this particular game. Not many players helped out in this game, stars either. But role players, a big difference from game one to game two on both sides and why that needs to change for game number three. We'll get into that in the final segment right here on Locked On 76ers. I have to tell you, though, as we talk about some things as we get into the spring and basketball and, you know, all these things are going on, we're having a great time. But I do have to let you know that, number one, sometimes you need help with things. And this show right here is brought to you by BetterHelp. It's so easy to get caught up into what everyone else needs. And sometimes, you know, they need it from you and you forget about yourself. You never take a moment to take a step back and look at in the mirror and figure out, you know, maybe I need this for me. You know, have you ever felt overwhelmed with things from work, or have you ever felt overwhelmed from school or just a relationship, personal relationship with your family or whatever it may be? We all, you know, spend all of our time giving, and with that, it can leave us feeling stretched out, thin, and simply burnt out. Therapy can give you the tools to find more balance in your life so you can keep supporting others without leaving yourself behind. I know that there was a stretch for me, you know, over the last couple of years where I actually needed someone to talk to. And I was able to do that to make sure I got through the days that I needed to make sure that I was solid, I was good to go. And if you're thinking, like I was, of starting some therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switched therapist at any time for no additional charge. Sometimes you just need some help. So find more balance with BetterHelp. And I think this might be good for you. Visit BetterHelp.com/LockedOnNBA today to get 10% off your first month. Don't do things yourself. Reach out if you need it. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/LockedOnNBA. Welcome back to Locked On 76ers. Keith Pompey, Devon Givens with you following game two of the Eastern Conference semifinal matchup between the Boston Celtics and the Philadelphia 76ers. Sixers split the series, taking game one, and now they head back to host Boston for two this weekend, both on Friday and Sunday at the center, at 7:30 start time on Friday, 3:30 on Sunday. They got a big bench performance from their players on Wednesday, where they were able to get 23 from Malcolm Brogdon, 12 from Grant Williams. So you just look at those two players right there as the main participants, the main contributors there. And let's say Robert Williams with his 2 points, and you give them, and right there you're looking at 37 points for the Boston Celtics between their three main players coming off the bench. For the Sixers, not so much. You get 6 from Reed, three for Niang and three for McDaniels. And that's pretty much what you get. Two from DeAnthony Melton after a 17-point performance. Keith, the bench helping out in game number one to pick up that victory. They're going to have to be better in game number three, to help their team take a 2-1 lead at home. And typically, role players do play better at home in front of their home crowd.
Yeah, they do. And you know, the one thing is, like, you know, you can look at this. They do play better in front of the home crowd. But the one thing that we can, if we want to be real, this was a weird situation because it was a game, the last game, you're trying to implement your star back in there. And the last two games you played, it was all about moving the ball, doing everything, you know, equal opportunity, right, so to speak. James got hot. This last game, I felt like it was more of we got not just our star, but he's the MVP. And I feel like they're going to play better in game three because it's like they're going to be more adjusted to him back. And even though it was only like two games, he wasn't practicing with him. You understand? So I feel like it was kind of like they got to get back into the mix of it. So, yeah, I do expect the role players to play better at home because role players do. But I also expect them to, like, let's say in game five, I expect them to have a better performance there too. I do. You know what I mean? I just feel like that this was just such a weird situation, you know what I mean, what they were going through or dealing with. That where it was kind of like they just got to say, look, y'all, let's just play ball the way we normally do. You know what I mean? I just feel like it was. I do.
And you believe that they have that in them to do that coming back. And, again, you know, they got to figure out the Malcolm Brogdon piece and not let Grant Williams get his legs underneath him and get going again.
Yeah, the thing is, like, I'm talking about the offensive end. You know, like, the thing is weird. Like, you know, the one thing that, you know, and it's like when the team is – when you're not making shots and the other – and, like, especially when you shoot as many threes as they do and you're not making shots, the ball comes out – it's not – it comes off, like, in the perimeter somewhere or the mid-court. Well, I mean, not mid-court, but, you know, and, like, you know, near the elbow and all that. And what happens is the other team, if they gets it, they're going. That's like transition right there, buckets. So defensively, yes, they got to tighten that up. But let's face it, you know, the defensive thing is like is all about communication. Also, another thing is when you have Joel who's back and he's the anchor of the D, sometimes like when you have Paul Reed, you know, Paul Reed will maybe come out in the perimeter or he may do some other things that Joel's not going to do right now with a knee brace. So then you're like, if you're another guy, you got your head on a swivel and you were like, okay, where do I go? Do I help out this person? Oh, man, I left my guy and now my guy's out on the perimeter. So I think it's just a little bit of adjustment that they have to make. But let's face it, dude, like, yes, this is going to be a bad defensive matchup for them. But at the same time, I'm not ready to say, like I said, it was before a bad matchup. But the way that they played in game one, I just think it's just a matter of them getting readjusted to the big fella. You know what I mean? Like, he was great. He had five blocks.
Making some corrections.
Make some corrections. But as far as, like, George, you know, I love George. You got to take advantage of them opportunities he get. Like, George can't come in there and pass up stuff. Like, you know what I mean? He got to take the shots. George is in the game to hit threes, right? I would like to see Jalen McDaniels show us a little bit more on the offensive end. You know what I mean? I also felt like that we're talking about the bench. I also felt like that DeAnthony Melton wasn't as aggressive as he normally was in that first game. You know what I mean? So, again, all that stuff is a good talking to, you know, we got it out. Let's see what we can do. Now, if they go out there and they have a repeat performance in game three, then you know you got a problem. But I feel like you said, role players tend to play better at home. It's going to be electric. Joel's probably going to get he's going to get the trophy. He's going to do all that other stuff there. People are going they're going to go crazy. You know what I mean? It's going to be loud, and I'm here to tell you, it's louder in the Wells Fargo Center than the Boston Garden. It wasn't always that way, but it is now. So you know what? I think it's going to be fire.
All right. Well, listen, man. I look forward to being there. Of course, I'll see you there for the game. We'll have our preview tomorrow here on Locked On 76ers. We'll be there for the weekend, and we'll see how the Sixers respond to taking their first loss of the entire thing, man, because they were on a 7-game win streak, Keith, 5 in a row in the playoffs. That was their first loss of the postseason. How will they respond? We'll get into all of that tomorrow, and that's part of our show for the Everydayers. Thanks for making Locked On 76ers your first listen every day. Keith, do you mind letting the good folks know where they can find us?
Yeah, they can find us on wherever you get your podcast at. You can get this podcast, but also go to our YouTube channel, right? When you go to the YouTube channel, click on the Liberty Bell, you become a new subscriber, and you get notified whenever we have a podcast. But you can also follow my man D, right, on the Divine Giving Show tonight from 6 to 10 p.m.
Actually, 7 to 10, I'm sorry.
So 7 to 10 p.m. on the Divine Giving Show. And then you can follow him on Twitter at DivineG975. You can follow me on Twitter at Pompey on Sixers. And you can read my articles in the Philadelphia Inquirer, Inquirer.com.
Sounds like a plan, man. Listen, thanks everybody for checking us out. We'll be back tomorrow previewing the game for game number 3 as the Sixers look to come home and take a 2-1 series lead. Not going to be easy, but being back at home in front of you folks might make things a little bit easier on a Friday night. Keith, thanks as always, man. Really appreciate it.
All right, man. Thank you too, bro. Peace.